What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Are you pleased to see the Cubs and Kyle Tucker compromise and reach a one-year $16.5 million deal to avoid arbitration? Could you believe they had the largest gap among all arbitration filings when Tucker asked for $17.5 million, while the Cubs offered a mere $15 million? Do you believe the fan convention starting tonight helped the compromise happen when it did?
You know, I'm glad they got it done and that he's going to the fan convention, okay? I thought it was silly that they weren't going to get it done. If you're really going to sign this guy after this season, which is, you know, big question, you would like to not start your relationship with him on a bad note. And I suppose they did no matter what. But, it's business. It's not personal. People take it personal, okay? So I'm glad, I think we name that number when we talked about it. Yeah, just go ahead and give him 16.5 and he'll take it, and then you'll be laughing. I think we all knew that, and it was weird they were so far removed. Maybe they always knew they were going to 16.5, and if they came in at 16.5 and he wanted 17.5, it would have cost him another $500,000 or something. So it's good that they got it done, and it's great that the guy's going to be at the fan convention, because that's one of the things he needs to know: how he'll be treated, how people will feel about him, and what it's going to be like for him. And this will help him get excited for the upcoming season. And he obviously, it's a huge year for him in order to get that big money at the end of the rainbow when the season is over. So, I think it starts out great with the adulation that he will be dealing with at the convention. It would have been a real mistake not to have him there. So I'm glad they came to their senses.
Well, I wonder, it's interesting, did the extra million get him to show up? Is that why he's going to be joining David on Saturday? Because he kicked in.
I believe it's 1.5, right?
Okay, sorry, the 1.5. Here's what I don't understand. And this is something I'm just, we don't have Jed Hoyer on, but just something I'd be personally interested in. Explain this to me in about 60 seconds,
okay,
Jed, how this works.
All right.
So you say 15, they say 17.5. Everybody's in a panic. I'm in a panic as a Cubs fan. Why did you even bother? Because now he's going to leave and you're just going to have him here for a year and he's never going to stay. Your $400 million is going to be different than somebody else's $400 million, assuming you'd pay him $400 million. So how did we all of a sudden, within a week, come up $1.5 million? Like, why did we even have to go through this process? Please explain that.
Well, I think because it's all part of the negotiation. And I think you reach a certain... Oh, he just shook his head at me. Just shook his head. That was bitter beer
the
face.
The number was advertised as 16.5.
Yes.
He came in over it. They came in under it.
It's right in the middle. But I really think, guys, that to me, this is less about paying an amount as much as it is preserving a relationship.
Totally.
And you've got to look at Kyle Tucker not only as an asset, but somebody that's going to help you win now. Because you know what? You need to win now. And you want him in the right frame of mind before he even puts on a Cub uniform, whatever uniform he puts on. I think that when you look at the amount of money, this is a bargain, whether it's 15, 16, or 17. This was going to be a relative pittance for his production level in 2025. I think the Cubs want to get off on the right foot with somebody who, in their minds, they're going to have conversations with staying in Chicago, using Wrigley Field and the Cub experience as maybe their biggest selling point. But I do think there are two things that are true here. Number one, they did the smart thing, the practical thing, in finding a middle ground, in compromising. But I don't think this is connected to, in any way, their ability to bring Kyle Tucker back. He's going to hit the open market, and you're unlikely to keep him and win that bidding war, because that's going to be likely $500 million. He could be coming off a pennant-type winning season. He could be coming off an MVP-type season. But I don't think coming up to $16.5 million is going to give you an advantage necessarily to make you able to outbid the Giants or the Blue Jays or the Dodgers or whoever it is in free agency. It can't hurt, but you had to do this, because if you hadn't done this, you would have no chance of repairing a relationship that got off on the wrong foot.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Dustin didn't like that answer.
We need to get back to this if there is time to do so. That's the voice of Brad Biggs. He's here at 7, busy
Quickly,
show today.
What don't you like about his answer?
No, not his answer. It makes all the sense in the world. I guess the point is, going back to why David just said he's going to the free agent market. You're likely to sign him is this much, very small, if you're watching on Twitch. So then why did you give him the money then? Then why did you give him the $1.5 million? Because now you're trying to put a Band-Aid on something that you didn't need to put a Band-Aid on in the first place. It just seems, I want it explained.
You're buying peace.
Dustin, the number projected was 16.5. So you come in below it so that you can get to 16.5. He came in at 17.5, which is over the number that was projected. So therefore, it's a negotiation. It's like buying a house.
I understand that, but you don't need to negotiate with this guy. I'm asking why.
So you want to go to court?
Well, no. Like, just give him what he wanted in the first place if you want him here. If you were willing to come up $1.5 million in a week, it's like, is it just because of Cubs Con? $1.5 million? I mean, serious. It's just very frustrating. It's very frustrating. The Bears, they are scheduled to interview Todd Monken today, Brian Flores tomorrow. These are going to be done virtually. Does either guy have a legit shot at the job in your mind? And which of the two do you think is more intriguing?
Well, I think they both have legit shots at the job until the job is filled. And we don't know, though we are assuming, that Ben Johnson and Mike McCarthy are the two guys at the top of the list. And it's a very long one. Brian Flores can lay claim to the fact that he brings experience into the interview. He also brings some baggage. I would feel uneasy the more you think about it. Not about his credentials. I think he'd be a qualified head coach who would make people understandably uncomfortable. But I think the Bears need discomfort at House Hall. But I don't know that they know that. So I'm not sure he's a really legitimate candidate necessarily. Todd Monken, in some ways, has a similar thing. He is a guy that is the anti-Bears employee. He's a guy that's going to be blunt and honest. You know what they need at House Hall? People who are blunt and honest. That said, I don't know if they're going to like everything about either guy. So they're qualified, but it's hard for me to envision them introducing either guy once they're down the road as far as they are with McCarthy and knowing how much they covet Ben Johnson. So of the two, the more intriguing candidate to me is Flores because of his experience.
Well, I'm exactly the opposite. Todd Monken is so intriguing to me. What he has done to get Lamar Jackson to the next level. Lamar Jackson, before Todd was tied with him, was good. Now Lamar Jackson is great, and depending on how the next 3 weeks go, it is ticketed for a, what, third MVP and a absolute cementing is the best quarterback in the league right now, not named Pat Mahomes. But, you know, listen, if he beats Pat Mahomes to get to the Super Bowl, then maybe he is the best quarterback in the league, period. And then if we're going to have the best quarterback not named Lamar Jackson in the NFL is. I want that guy to have a legitimate shot. I want that guy to get up to Hallis Hall. He can't get there right now. It's against the rules, and maybe the rules are dumb. But Todd Monken really intrigues me. Listen, I'm with Dan. If Dan Pompey has hesitation on Brian Flores, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think that they're both both have legitimate shots at the job because they're being brought into a situation where there's no coach in place and they're looking to fill a job. So I would hope that they can both interview well. I think Brian Flores probably has more going against him than Todd Monken does. In other words, there is the possibility of some contentious questions. I think there are things that you need answered from Brian Flores relating to what happened in Miami, why it went wrong, and why it changed. What is going to be different about his relationship with this quarterback that failed so miserably with his relationship with Tua? And, you know, all you got to do is ask Tua. Ask anybody that was down in Miami. They don't say nice things about Brian Flores. Now, they say great things about him in Minnesota, where he's performing the role that he's really good at, the defensive coordinator role. I don't know that he's really good as a head coach. I think he's got an uphill climb to explain what went wrong and to tell what he learned and to give his thoughts and opinions on how that will change here. And I'm not saying it can't. I think he's a hell of a football coach. I just don't know if his style would work here. And I, you know how these people are. The other element is the lawsuits and his issues with the league. It's just hard for me to imagine them being able to kind of get past that. I'm surprised he even got an interview, to be brutally honest about it. But just because the McCaskies, George in particular, there's a certain go-along, get-along to what they do, and I don't know how their partners would feel about it. Maybe it would be a good thing. Maybe that would change some things. I don't know. But I don't think it's the Bears' place to try to fix relationships within the league. So I think they need the best head coach they can get, and I think that they need an offensive guy to work with the quarterback. And I think Brian Flores will have to tell you what his plan is on offense for sure.
Oh, my God, what a question. What a question.
That is Joe Fortenbaugh. If you are Ben Johnson, the presumptive plan A for the Bears, Raiders, Jaguars, are you prioritizing front office alignment, contract security, or quarterback situation? Anything else factor in that much?
Yes, I would factor all those things in. I think that he is, I think the problem you have here is front office alignment. I think that, you know, if he has his own guy, and he does, and if he wants to get a certain type of player, and he does, can he explain that to Ryan Poles? Can they work together, or can Poles approve of him bringing in somebody? I don't know how it would work, frankly. I think the contract security of the quarterback situation, I think he'll get everything he needs here. I don't know that they're going to outspend or anything like that, but I would say that the problem here for him would be front office alignment. And the problem might not exist in other places, but there are other problems like the quarterback situation. So I think you have to take the whole thing at its face value. And you've got to be able to understand, I may get this and that, but I won't have this and that. And I think he's got a real decision to make. How much does he really like Caleb Williams? How much does he think he can, like, be the key that makes all of that happen? It's good. I think there are complications to it. The other thing is the guy's comfortable in the division. He's putting together game plans. He knows the other teams in the division. Would that help him to overcome front office alignment? Would that help him if he felt like, hey, I need this guy, and this guy. Are you going to get him for me? I think they would. So I think that there are ways around all this stuff. The question just comes down to whether he feels like another situation is better for him. I would argue that he's better here than in those other places because of the win now factor.
Well, let's find out if Ben Johnson has the intestinal fortitude, if he has the guts to take the Bears job. You want the easy way out, Ben? Do yourself a favor. Buy a ticket and go south to the Jaguars. Okay? Go to the Jaguars. That's the easy. He gets 8 years, 10 a year. Nobody cares. Does he have the guts to stay in the North, take on his potential mentor, stay in a division that's got a lot of good teams that doesn't look like are going anywhere anytime soon, except maybe the Vikings, depending on what's going on with the quarterback situation up there? Is J.J. McCarthy, local guy, made good, ready to take the reins with the quarterback whisperer coach up there, who's now had talks, so he's not going anywhere. He's had great talks with management this week about a contract extension. So let's find out if Ben Johnson's got the guts to take the job here in town.
I don't know. I think I don't know that I've ever agreed with Dustin Moore.
Really? See, here's the thing. Doug Peterson is down in Jacksonville, and he couldn't win. That's a Super Bowl-winning coach. He couldn't win down there.
But
something's going on, right?
But remember what you said about the lack of scrutiny and the lack of pressure. And Jacksonville is the opposite of all that Chicago offers and represents. You come to Chicago, day one, you're in a fishbowl. And day two, you're learning how out of whack the expectations are. And day three, you're wondering if you made the right call. Day four, you're loving life because you are in a passionate football city. You're working for an organization that has tradition and history, and you can go nowhere but up. So you are excited about having a rookie quarterback, working for the Bears, and all of that dysfunction that we chronicle on a regular basis doesn't matter to the head coach who's taken a job that is his dream job. I want Ben Johnson to articulate on day one at Hallis Hall, if he ever reaches day one at Hallis Hall, why this is a perfect fit for him, why he can't take the North, and why getting in the division doesn't matter to him, because one day that will be the Bears who mimic what the Lions did, or that will be the Bears on the other side of the Packer rivalry, or that'll be the Bears winning 14 games out of nowhere the way the Vikings just completed their season. I want Ben Johnson to come to Chicago, if he comes to Chicago, think big and talk bigger, because that will show me that he's fearless, and you want your head coach to be fearless. If he goes to Vegas, it will be because of he values a proximity to greatness in Tom Brady and maybe the money and no impediment in the front office. If he goes to Jacksonville, it will be because he values money over everything else, and he values the opportunity to kind of operate in obscurity. If he goes to Chicago, it's because he's scared of nothing. I want a coach that's scared of nothing.
Okay, I got to stop you there. Here's my thing. If you can replace a guy that you know you're better than, isn't that better than replacing a guy that might be as good a coach as you are? So I think he could come here and feel like, I'm a better coach than the guy that left here. I will do better than that guy here. He may say, but there's so much dysfunction, I can go and be with Tom Brady, and I'm a better coach than the guy that was there, and I can figure out a way to get a quarterback in.
Maybe I can be
Shanahan.
We'll get back to that.
And I can find my system is so good, and my ability is so good that any quarterback can win for me.
We'll get back to that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Those are good questions I don't have an answer for.
That's Ron Coomer. Cubs Con is in town, and Coomer will be on with Mully and Haw today at 9 a.m. What does the fact that the 8 remaining quarterbacks left in the NFL playoffs are all high draft picks tell you about the position and its importance in the National Football League? 7 were first rounders with only Jalen Hurts taken in the second round. 6 are still on teams that selected them, with the exception of Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff, both number one overall selections, who were basically traded for one another.
Yeah, but they also found their greatest success on their second team, which is a fact and trivia that doesn't bode well if you are hoping that Caleb Williams gets to the mountaintop for the team and with the team that drafted him. Or you look at this as that you wondered, based on that little nugget, for which team will Caleb Williams take to the Super Bowl? Whoever he's traded to in 3 years? Let's hope not. This tells you what you already know. You need your quarterback, and you find him typically in the first round. The closer to the first overall pick, the better. Although Lamar Jackson was at the end of the first round, I think that's a special circumstance. People thought he was not qualified to play the position for a lot of different reasons, and boy, were people wrong, dead wrong. So Jalen Hurts is the outlier here. A lot of people didn't think he was going to be the guy that could beat out Carson Wentz. He's, you know, the consummate competitor. But this reinforces what you already know. And the best part about answering this question in Chicago is you don't have to wonder what it's like to have a quarterback that you feel like can be good enough, isn't right now, but can be good enough to lead you to this round of the playoffs and beyond.
The NFL is all about the quarterback, point blank, period.
Is it me now? Did he finish? He said one sentence.
Okay. We're a little short on time.
Okay, I agree.
Keep going.
He said keep going. We're short on time.
Oh, that's why I went short. Oh. It's not about me. It's about you two.
I can't follow you. I don't know.
It's always about you, Dustin. Go.
Yeah. I think this is really interesting because there was once upon a time, you know, Tom Brady was this standout quarterback, and he was, you know, famously taken in the sixth round, and you can find your quarterback anywhere. I think we are increasingly turning to a point where we realize if you want one, you got to get him, and you got to get him immediately. And you know, you look at different drafts and you say, wow, you know, they took the wrong guy. And look at that quarterback. He's in the playoffs a couple years running, and he's really got a future, and they're going to be good down the line because they didn't take the bad quarterback. They got the good one. So here's hoping that that doesn't apply to the Bears at all, that there's no second guessing. I think Caleb is going to be okay. I think he needs help. I think that you've got to get a good coach and quarterback combination. I think it's really important that those positions walk hand in hand.
I mean, there are a lot of assumptions in your question.
When you look at the coach QB combos for the remaining NFL teams, which is the most impressive? Can you rate the eight playoff teams playing this weekend via that factor, please? Does it impact your game selection? For instance, if you prefer Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford over Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, is it the Vic Fangio factor and his defensive impact in your selection?
Yeah, you know, I think it's really interesting because I think the Mahomes and Andy Reid combination is the winner. I just think that those two guys, the kind of offense that they run where they're nothing but play callers, right? We learned that when Matt Nagy was in town. They didn't really have a specific scheme. They just had plays, and they could call plays, and Andy has a real knack for it. I mean, I understand he's from the West Coast offense, but when you watch what they do, they just collect plays, and you see a play, and then you'll see their version of that play. They do a great job of that. And when you have a guy like Mahomes that can do all that, I think it's really difficult to try to rate the coach quarterback combination because some of these coaches and some of these quarterbacks are still building. You know, it feels like Andy is not getting any better as a coach. I don't know that Patrick Mahomes can get much better as a quarterback. He's already at a super high level. And so that's why they're the winners. But I think that there are guys that we don't know how good they can be. We don't know how good the combination is yet because they're still relatively young in what they are doing. So I think, for instance, you know, John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson is a great combination. But is it better to say special teams guy who hires good people and has the great quarterback versus, you know, Josh Allen and Sean McDonough, where you got a defensive guy with an offensive quarterback? You see what I'm saying? I think that they come in all shapes and sizes, and this isn't as obvious as an answer. I think we know who the guys who are experienced are, and we have a track record for them, and we know who's won a Super Bowl and who hasn't. But we don't know where these quarterbacks or these coaches are going.
It is a really interesting thing to think about, but I think you can put this whole list and summarize it in the very first game of the divisional round, and that's the Chiefs hosting the Texans. I think the top of the list is Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and the bottom of the list is D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. I also think it's, I don't want to say misleading, but this coach-quarterback combination, when you look at five of the eight teams, they have defensive head coaches, so we're really talking about offensive coordinator and quarterback combinations. And on the other three teams that have play callers who are their head coaches, you start with Andy Reid because they're historically good. Sean McVay with Matthew Stafford are on their way to being historically good. And then you have Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, who you have to grudgingly give respect to because it's worked. And I think that with Jalen Hurts, sometimes less is more, and you lean into your running game and your offensive line. Of the remaining combinations, you got to give respect to Ben Johnson and Jared Goff. I think of the coordinator quarterback combinations, they're at the top because they're the best offense. Monken and Lamar Jackson, because Lamar Jackson is on his verge. He had a third MVP type season. The Bills with Joe Brady and Josh Allen. The Commanders with Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels. And then the Texans with Bobby Slowick Jr. and CJ Stroud, just because they haven't duplicated the success from last year. But those combinations, those duos, are what's going to dictate success and failure this weekend.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
What'd you make of LSU coach Brian Kelly, formerly the coach at Notre Dame, telling CBS Sports that he's happy for the Irish? Quote, I pull for them. A lot of guys there on both sides of the ball I recruited. Obviously, I want to see those guys win it all, and I think they're in a great position, end quote. Kelly, who said he wanted to, quote, to be an environment where I have the resources to win a national championship, end quote, when he left Notre Dame, told CBS he believes his words were misinterpreted and that he, quote, wanted a different challenge, end quote. What are your thoughts?
I don't believe a word that comes out of that guy's mouth. I think that he left Notre Dame for LSU because he thought that he could win a national title quicker in the SEC than in Notre Dame being an independent because of the realities that were ahead for the college football playoff. And he believed that he could make that happen in Baton Rouge quicker than South Bend. And I don't buy that, you know what? He recruited these guys. He made out of his way to say, guys, I recruited. Let me tell you something. College football today, if they went to South Bend, the players on that Notre Dame roster, because of Brian Kelly, they would be so long gone by now in this transfer portal era that your head would be spinning. They would have followed him to Baton Rouge or gone to the quickest outpost anywhere. Anywhere but South Bend. They stayed. You know why? Notre Dame sells itself. You know another reason why? Marcus Freeman sold them on the possibility. Marcus Freeman had them convinced that he could do what Brian Kelly couldn't do. Brian Kelly left. The cowardice was obvious because he was afraid that he couldn't get to the national championship round. He couldn't take Notre Dame to the title or the promised land. Marcus Freeman all month for the past three games said, you know what? You were wrong. Brian Kelly can keep talking. We don't have to listen.
Has LSU under Brian Kelly even made it to Atlanta for the SEC title game? So like, get to a title game first, Brian. I think it's an excellent point about the fact that where are all the guys that he's pulling for, that he recruited on both sides of the ball? Why didn't he invite any of them to come to LSU? Oh, because the players that he recruited weren't good enough to win in the SEC or win a national title? Okay, Brian. Again, now, in all fairness, $98 million, right? 90, was it 90 or 98? Give or take. You know, what difference does it make unless you're the Cubs? $98 million, you can call me gutless and I'll go take a job for $98
million. Yeah, I mean, Brian Kelly, man, I'm sorry. He's just kind of, people misinterpreted what he said. We read what he said. That is fairly obvious what he said. And he now claims, oh, I just wanted a different challenge. Well, whatever, you know, manipulate whatever you said to make yourself feel better about it. This is all kind of it's a con game to this guy. He's, you know, is he going to talk with a Southern accent? Is he going to talk, you know, my family, whatever that, I love hearing that thing. We could play that for this segment. I just find the guy great. You know, he said the right things. I recruited guys, so of course I want him to win. Oh, give me a break. He's running a con game. It's a shell game here. Yeah, give me a break. I think it's awesome that he's gone and he's down at LSU, and the guy that took over the program, his defensive coordinator, is a better head coach than he is.
The guy who rejected his job offer to stay in South Bend and do what he couldn't do.
Yeah, it's great.
Yep.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.